Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's app 619, 620-ish, somewhere in the sixes. I am in Rhode Island. My dad's Shiva, also known as Fake Shiva, was last night. It was wild. I started crying. I looked at my phone just to track how I was doing, and I started crying 2 minutes in. So that's not a great indicator. And I haven't seen many of these like family friends for a long time because I'm based in New York City. Obviously, they're in Rhode Island. So it's like opening the door and having a flash to my like childhood and youth, but also in the context of this very sad event was very strange and sort of equally out of body and connective. And I had not really, but kind of volunteered as tribute, but truly almost against my will to read my dad's sayonara letter, because I think several of us felt that it should happen, but no one wanted to do it. And at any other point in time, at any other event, ideally not one related to the death of a family member. I've delivered eulogies. I've spoken at a number of funerals and certainly much happier occasions and events and other things, but bearing the responsibility for carrying my dad's words and giving them life and knowing that I was absolutely going to be breaking down, which he would have hated and been very upset at, because it quite literally obviously impacted the delivery of words, which I know that gets really granular and how could anyone be upset if you share emotion? But anyway, it was just at points incredibly overwhelming. But then also, I can't really share any information or details, but there was also like genuine, crazy family drama, which as an absolute outsider to it and complete voyeur, I did say at points like, this is housewifey and energy. Like there was stuff that was happening before it went and ran real bleak. Like it truly went into a dark, sort of sad, upsetting area. Before that happened, I was like, feed me the tea. Like I truly was like, I just need an escape from this. So it was, even though I have been tragically behind on my housewife watching, it was one of those moments where I was like, thank you. Thank you to the Lords above for giving me this, because there's nothing quite like watching wild dynamics take place and being able to do so at an absolute safe distance where I have no involvement in it And I'm so thankful, you know, to be living out of state. And it was a wild night. My father would have hated that there was any kind of chaos or anything else. It absolutely would have horrified him and genuinely angered him. But you know, we're different people. Okay. We carry our legacies in different ways. I carry the light in the way of looking for distractions and crazy, insane spaces and places. And I found some, and I'm very thankful for it. I was very appreciative for it. At the most inopportune times, I said literally out loud, "Thank you so much for this," because it was so fucking nuts that I was like, "This is wonderful. This is wonderful. What's happening?" So if you want to, you know, understand my frame of thinking. So anyway, I don't remember if this happened before I came to Rhode Island or while I was here. I think it was before I came to Rhode Island. I caught up on the last two episodes of Salt Lake City, and then I realized I have nothing to say. The episodes were fantastic, but I think there's a part of my brain right now that is truly muddled. So it's like there's so much happening, but also my brain feels like it's mixed with some sort of combination of like crumpled newspapers and air and just a genuine fogginess that I was watching Salt Lake City and I was like, obviously, this is great television, but I'm so confused at the dynamics because it felt like too much time had gone by from like the episode like three weeks ago, I guess, or the third most recent episode to the last two. There had been too much of a gap of space. So I may have to just go back and watch that shit again. Unfortunately, taking one for the team. Who are we kidding? It was absolutely excellent. And, you know, I, of course, have some friends of the pod who have recorded solo episodes. Those will continue thanks to Lauren Ashley Smith, who kicked off the series of I Can't Stop Thinking About. You will get more of those episodes, certainly this, probably this week and next week. But my plan is to also record and catch up. And it was kind of the thing that I talked with friends about, you know, because this process with my dad has been ongoing for so long, where I said, you know, I really like need to step away. I do not want to feel any kind. I don't want to feel a responsibility to hop on the pod if I'm not like mentally there. And so I was much more focused on that when it came to wanting to make sure that there was content that was still going up, that was new and interesting. And ideally, I think in a great way, different voices, longer long form perspectives. But also I remember chatting with a friend, shout out friend of the pod. I think it was friend of the pod, James LaRosa, who said, you know, you might want to record, like keep that in mind. And he was entirely right. And James, if it wasn't you that said it, well, you're getting credit. So mazel tov. Today I watched the last two episodes of Beverly Hills and was like, you know what? I want to chat about it. And was supposed to go to a dinner with my mom and bro, which we rescheduled because it's lightly raining here in East Greenwich. And it's a true Rhode Island perspective that we felt like it probably wasn't the safest idea to cross state lines, also known as driving 15 minutes to Providence, Rhode Island, a perspective and understanding a lifestyle that true Rhode Islanders, I think, can appreciate to make that long journey from any other space, place in Rhode Island to Providence. You have to really like a chipmunk or squirrel, like how many nuts do you need to store in your cheeks for that long, arduous journey of getting on the highway and God forbid being stuck in traffic next to the big blue bug. So we've rescheduled that for tomorrow. I've extended my trip here just because I felt like there was a sense where I could be helpful and help alleviate things. But anyway, watch Beverly Hills. And since we rescheduled the dinner, just went out downstairs and said to Topes, "I think I'm going to fucking record." And she went, "Go off, queen." She did not say that. But I do just want to, we're chatting for 3 to 6 minutes about Kyle. I do just want to thank everyone who have, and again, I'm extraordinarily delinquent on my DMs right now on Instagram because so much of my aura, overall self has been just entirely overwhelmed. But I do just want to thank everyone for such lovely comments on the posts, including of my dad's sayonara letter, and just have felt the an overwhelming sense of love and community, and we see each other, people sharing their experiences, very sadly losing loved ones, and I'm just so thankful for it. And I just want to say, equally, holding space for me in hearts the worldwide over with an equally devastating event, just right in line with losing my father, was finding out that Teddy Joe Carrot is now living with Kyle. Because I haven't been through enough processing trauma and loss, shout out childhood trauma, adult trauma based on childhood trauma, that to find out through, I guess, a clip, a brave, you know, BCC Purple Heart content creator had posted a clip from Two T's and a motherfucking pod, Todd, whatever, of Teddy Joe Carrot saying that she has temporarily moved into Kyle Richards Umansky, seemingly likely Richards again's beautiful father of the bride style home, my house, the people's house, in wherever the fuck it is. I want to say Beverly Hills, but I actually think it's Encino. Wherever she lives in that holy land, also known as rich people, California. It's just like I really haven't had to process enough to know that Teddy being mentioned on the most recent episode of Beverly Hills as an example of how Dorit has disappointed the nation or something, or Kyle stands for not standing up enough against a truly hilarious Q&A Bravoholic question at BravoCon. I was there for that panel. I remember that moment. I don't remember my reaction because it was probably out of body, but I'm pretty sure I absolutely left my body. My spirit is still there somewhere in Las Vegas, smelling of cigarette smoke and absolute desperate hope. It was very funny. And there are moments where people ask things, and it's not really asking, it's more of like an announcement that you're a piece of shit during Q&As at BravoCon, where people put on the persona of being a real housewife or a Bravo Leb, where they say or ask things that are really snarky that goes into areas of like being really mean. And I have to tell you, it's not just because Teddy Joe Carrot has been my number one trigger housewife, although, and I'm extraordinarily behind in New York, but I do feel like Bryn has not done herself many favors on Watch What Happens, and otherwise she is closely becoming someone that I find so deeply unsettling in how she thinks, what she thinks winning looks like on and off Bravo, I guess, when it comes to all things Bravo.com. But anyway, for that gentleman, the question that he asked, I have to tell you, yes, there are points where people cross lines and they do too much. I thought it was very funny. And the fact that it was repurposed and included on the episode, I also watched the after show for the last 2 weeks to make sure I was entirely online with what the fuck was going on. I delighted in it. And it leads me to this continued point of, I guess you would think it was confusion, but it really genuinely doesn't feel like that, which is essentially this current scenario for me in processing all things RHOBH, which is the knowledge and understanding that Kyle remains in my top five. I love Kyle. She is a German Shepherd, caregiver, provider, quote unquote owner, but you know, we use different language, just parent of a German Shepherd puppy child. My sister, Kirby Gigi Galley, my German Shepherd growing up, love of my life. There's just a kinship that I feel when I see another German Shepherd living said German Shepherd's best life, and for it to be on Bravo especially. There are other things I love about Kyle. I love and can appreciate the complicated situation that she's in with her family, the family dynamics, a lot of stuff that she and her sisters do not want to acknowledge publicly and maybe privately about experiences that they had, and certainly trauma they experienced as kids and sort of unfortunate children, but also being the almost seemingly majority financial providers for their households, everything else, maybe pinning kids off of each other, not wanting to be open about stuff going on. Anyway, there's a lot that I feel a kinship to when it comes to Kyle. I love her on the show. I have said for a very long time, argued she's a strong beta. There have also been times where she has felt like the underdog to me. Although it is that catch 22 of the person becoming incredibly famous and successful by being that underdog. You know, Bethany Frankel always talks about the Bethany clause, which housewives, bravolettes now have to sign, of tithing away 10% or whatever it is of businesses that might be created or magnified while on Bravo, which was set into motion as a part of the generic boilerplate Bravoleb contract because of the exceptional success Bethany achieved with Skinny Girl. But I do also think there's a Bethany Frankel accord. So we have the Bethany clause, which is about Skinny Girl and Bravo wanting to make sure that it was able to successfully monetize and get money from any Bravoleb that maybe like breaks open, becomes a fan favorite and makes a shit ton of money from whatever subsidiary businesses they have. But I also think there's a Bethany Frankel accord, which is like, beware the Ides of Bethany. Beware the moments in which a seemingly underdog Greek chorus housewife makes it big. Because once you hit that peak, I mean, it's more of a sacrifice, I guess, for us to endure than that person. It can be very hard once that person achieves fame, unbelievable celebrity, money, adoration, for them to understand and be humbled enough to still have the kind of sense of humor that we initially fell in love with. Trigger warning, spoiler alert, Heather Gay has fallen into that trap. I don't know that she's there right now. I guess a part of her maybe is, but it's not unique to Bethany, but I do think she's the greatest example of someone who doesn't live here anymore in the ways that many of us, not everybody, but many of us fell in love with her. I feel that about Heather Gay. And I do, in some ways, feel that about Kyle, even though she's still in my top five, not just because of the German Shepherd, not just because of the difficult dynamics with her and her family. I think she's funny. I love the sound of her voice. There's just something about her life that I just really connect with. And so I do think that there has been a moment where maybe certainly last season, maybe in the last couple seasons, Kyle has thought of herself as the underdog past the point where she last was one. And I think the discrepancy there, maybe most especially last season, was that the rest of the cast wasn't really treating her as anything other than an underdog. They were still kind of like paying her a little bit too much respect, giving her too much grace when she deserved to have a little bit of a pushback. And I think, you know, Sutton Strack really, why am I using full titles? The Sutton concept of it all, Sutton understood that in a way that I think several of us appreciated, of like standing up to Kyle when things didn't entirely make sense. And I think the difficulty now for Kyle is that she's still trying to put across that narrative that I am the underdog here. People are coming at me and I just have to play defense. She is not able to take true responsibility. It feels like so often for Kyle, her responses to things, we're seeing this obviously a lot over and over and over again with Dorit, is that Kyle has real difficulty understanding that she still has to be held accountable for her behavior, even if her life is crumbling around her. She still has responsibility to other people and herself, where it's not enough to say, my life is really complicated right now, because then you run into the issue of, what if, God forbid, other people's lives are complicated as well? Kyle consistently demands grace, but she doesn't extend it as uniformly as I think she believes it's owed to her over and over again. And it's just kind of a strange dynamic. I feel like I should feel worse about it than I actually do, but I'm just watching Dorit. So there have been 3 episodes of Beverly Hills so far. Just watched the most recent 2 and the after shows. And I just agree with Dorit about like everything, where I'm still, Kyle's still in my top 5. She'll be there, I would argue, forever. Certainly she's been on probation before. She has fucked up. But right now it's like I still see her. I understand her often in ways that are like maybe not the most complimentary to her, but I don't hold it against her. But I'm in agreement with what everything Dorit is saying. I don't know. It's giving me, what's the name of the last Batman movie with Christian Bale, like The Dark Knight Rises? It's giving me Dorit Kemsley Rising, where I just feel like I cannot stop watching Dorit.
I have a couple of resolutions for 2025. Catching up on New York and Potomac, continuing to love Dorit. And sure, we've all heard New Year, New You a bajillion times, but why stick to just one version of yourself? Pair Eyewear has tons of shapes and styles to match any new vibe or hyperfixation, so you can keep trying new things and switching up your look anytime you want. Perfect for the clawfish. Base frames start at just $60, including your prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code AndysGirls at PairEyewear.com. I went with Otis and Crystal Clear, which is one of my faves. I am a glasses girly. I wear glasses 24/7. And I love something that will work with the variety of colors and styles of dresses and jackets that I have in the clawfish. And with Crystal Clear as my base, there are so many fabulous top frames to pair. I'm a big fan of sparkle and sequins, so of course the silver sparkle in the sparkle collection, something I'm immediately obsessed with. With Pair Eyewear, you get to choose so many different creative, unique styles for these top frames that you snap right on top of your base eyewear. Pair Eyewear is budget friendly, without compromising on style or quality. Show off new sides of yourself this year. Go to PairEyewear.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Andy's Girls sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, Eyewear.com using code AndysGirls. Last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America. Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers. But it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns hopes to grow your money into more of your money. Especially helpful for me because living in New York City, I swear you walk outside and somehow you've spent $100 before walking a single solitary block. In New York City, of course, we always say everything is at your fingertips, but with all of these delivery services, especially if I'm recording in the middle of a Peacock binge, shout out the Traders, those delivery fees really, truly add up. Acorns can help you fight back. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. I spend a lot of time on the pod talking about emotional intelligence. Financial intelligence is equally important. Head to acorns.com/AndysGirls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/AndysGirls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
And the difficulty, I think, for Kyle is that some of what she's saying over and over again that she's trying to get us to understand on the show and the after show is the ways that Dorit has betrayed her, and it just doesn't add up. I feel like Dorit is TLDRing right now in a way she never has before. You can say it's because she's in a zero fucks era. You could say it's because she's finally being open. I guess some Kyle defenders are saying too open, whatever, but she's finally being open about the fact that like she and PK have not been doing great for a minute and they're not doing great now, which is a tension I think that Dorit is still struggling with. Like that dinner with PK, I still felt Dorit was kind of like hiding a little bit or not sure how to communicate any of the tension that PK is sharing with us that they've had. Like we don't speak to each other in a way that feels like kind or respectful. We're not seeing that. And maybe it's because they're at a nice dinner with unbelievably well-prepared fries. We need to have a conversation with Olivetta. If they can Uber Eats from wherever the fuck, West Hollywood to the Upper East Side, please make that happen. Thank you so much. You can hold the ketchup. I'm an adult, but it, perfectly seasoned. I was very distracted by that. And also the delightful server who was helping them, who I feel like should become an absolute friend of. But I felt like there was still a little bit of tension there between Dorit and PK with what they were sharing, which is vastly new information for us about their marriage and relationship. Also some difficulties and challenges with how they're trying to figure out how to like communicate with each other, what they think of each other, what they think of the problems in their marriage. But it felt like she was sort of still hedging a little bit in how she was speaking to him, trying to connect with him. His response is about codependency and everything else. It feels like there are areas in which Dorit is still kind of like struggling with how to share stuff honestly with us when it comes to herself and PK and what they haven't shared with us for many years about what we now know are like very real sort of devastating tensions in their marriages, differences in how they see each other, roles in their marriage, all of that. It feels like Dorit is still hedging her bets a little bit. But then when it comes to all things Kyle, it's like Dorit is like, let me give you the Wikipedia here. And I'm not going to give you a whole huge fucking breakdown. I'm going to give you three lines. So for Dorit, someone who absolutely should guest host an episode of Andy's Girls, talking about the whatever the fuck for 6 to 9 hours on an absolute 3-minute mini episode, I feel like Dorit, the energy that she's bringing forth to Kyle, like the irony here is so often Dorit has accurately been, you know, dragged for being a linguist, someone who loves to use her words. And as a fellow linguist, we see each other. That is maybe the title of ep. But it's just so funny because I don't really see her doing that when it comes to Kyle. Like she's being like really, really quick and to the point right now. And unfortunately for Kyle, these continued reasons of why Dorit has offended her aren't lining up. Number one, we have to stop. And I'm sure Kyle will pivot entirely against this. And she even tried to in the new episode of saying that the dumb joke Dorit made, it wasn't even dumb. I'm not criticizing. It was just so innocuous. It was an absolute nothing burger because Kyle had inadvertently, accidentally like dropped whatever, if it was a shot of something, whatever, at a panel at BravoCon, that when Dorit was asked a shady question of rank the Richard sisters, she said Kyle is last because Kyle accidentally sloshed whatever was in Dorit's like shot glass on her. Kyle using that over and over repeatedly is ridiculous. And then Kyle's follow-up of, well, that's just one of many things. Well, listen, sweetie, number one, that's not one of anything. That's a nothing burger. You laughed in the moment. You cannot tell us you were crying on the inside, laughing on the outside with that because you knew it was a joke. So her pulling that out of her ass, it's like how to make a great American quilt. Like that's not even a patch, babe. Like that's not even, you're not even giving me 6 inches. Like to say that's one part of a larger narrative piece of the puzzle, Mazel tov. It's a weird fucking puzzle, though, is it not? That shouldn't even be considered a piece. She was obviously joking. You obviously understood it. It makes me feel like Kyle is lying to us. And I don't mean that as a criticism, but I'm just being honest. Like, I'm being honest in the way that I feel Kyle isn't. Because I think ultimately the thing that she's upset about, because she's a big fan of carrying water on behalf of other people, is what Dorit mentioned, that she's upset that Dorit went on Watch What Happens Live and said, I feel like Kyle and I are no longer close and Morgan is taking up more of her time and I've been replaced. And she followed it up by saying, I love you, Kyle, whatever else. And I think she got upset on Morgan's behalf. Morgan got upset and that kickstarted Kyle as a form of retribution, being like, well, you can't be mad that we're no longer close because we weren't that close to begin with. Which then kicked off her saying that on a dumb fucking Amazon Live that someone needs to explain to me what that even is, because people referencing Amazon Live clips on everything. And I'm like, is that like the new Peacock? Is that free? How do I watch it? I would actually like to watch some of these Amazon Lives because it seems like pretty good content because it keeps getting clipped out and used on Housewives episodes. So obviously there's something fucking there that I truly need to tune in to watch and then buy, I don't know, velvet hangers or whatever. I don't even understand what is this, like the Housewives version of one of like the TikTok videos where people sell things really quickly or whatever the fuck is going on, where Kyle's like, yeah, let me tell you about my relationship with my sisters as soon as you buy this sweater. I don't know. It's like, it's giving me Bravo, QVC, HSN. I'm here for it. I guess feed it to me. Let me know. A fun little nosh. But I feel like that is a little bit, I think, of the original sin here when it comes to Kyle v. Dorit. And it's why Kyle's explanations of things to me do not make sense. The question about the example of, you know, she ranked me last when it came to me and my sisters is bullshit. The criticism of you didn't stand up enough for Teddy is bullshit. Dorit and Erica were smart enough to know that this wasn't their fucking battle. So when someone came to the Q&A portion of the BravoCon panel of BH and said, Teddy's dumb or whatever, like you can't make fetch happen. We're never going to love her. So whatever. Yes. Is it mean? Is it shady? Sure. Sure. I also thought it was funny. Kyle should be a good enough friend if she wants to do this to stand up for Teddy. If Teddy wants to be upset at Dorit and Erica, she can do that. But Kyle isn't Teddy's agent. Kyle isn't Teddy's manager. It makes Kyle stans who hate Teddy frustrated because, first off, I get that like you're upset on behalf of your friend, but that's not enough of a reason to say that Dorit is bad. Also, empirically, Teddy sucks. Are you like, where's half of the upcoming reunion? If we're going to focus on Teddy, needs to be Teddy fucking that carrot holding horse trainer guy while his like wife is 9 centimeters dilated. Like, if we want to have a conversation about protecting Teddy, we should do that to the spouses of horse trainers the country over. So I don't really need to hear about Teddy being a victim, because then we get into this victim complex and I'm like, Kyle, you might be genuinely, no disrespect, a victim in other relationships, in other scenarios in your life, but I do not feel even a little bit that Kyle is a victim in her friendship with Dorit. It doesn't mean she can't be wrong about some stuff here. Maybe she genuinely is bewildered by the fact that Dorit is acting differently. And sure, is she putting across through sources, through areas, the fact that she thinks Dorit is being fake for camera time? And do other people genuinely feel that way? I get it. I also think Dorit understands the pressure here that she has to deliver. She doesn't want to be fired. I don't know where she and PK are financially right now, but she's making a shit ton of money, real money, on Beverly Hills. She's not in a position, regardless of what she may or may not say, of like thinking about whether or not she should leave. She is not in that position. From whatever we know, limited knowledge, because we still haven't had honest conversations about PK and Dorit. Did I say Teddy at any point when I meant Dorit? Apologies. About PK and Dorit and their money and their debt and questions about business stuff and whatever else. We haven't really gone near that, although she slightly opened the door and just even mentioning his gambling debts and everything else on the premiere, which was honestly huge, all things considered. Too huge. We should have been talking about this stuff earlier, but I digress. For Dorit, I just kind of feel like she obviously, it's not even a question of saying Dorit is an angel. It's to me more a question of Kyle not feeling, I don't want to say like not respecting the audience enough, but it feels like Kyle is still hedging her bets. Like she is projecting a little bit of Dorit maybe not being honest, but I feel like Kyle is the one who is not being entirely honest. And maybe it's because she decided this season that Morgan, who has signed releases, Kyle starred in that music video, whatever else, that Kyle wants to respect her and her wishes of remaining private. And Kyle gets to make that judgment, but she can still be criticized for it. And I think that Kyle genuinely is demanding so much of people around her and has gotten very, very comfortable with an edit, with not being at the absolute center of conflict, with maybe knowing that she had a pretty healthy size of the audience on her side regardless, where it really, really feels like, you know, trying to say that Dorit is being manipulative on camera or sharing too much or sharing that text at the reunion, it's just not holding water for me. It's just genuinely not. It's not giving me what I think Kyle thinks is happening. I don't understand it. And the interesting thing here too is that, like, I don't think Kyle is really open to seeing that Dorit is going through challenges. So Kyle is saying, like, you should hold more grace for me because of what I'm experiencing. But Dorit is also, would be allowed to say that as well, and is also kind of going through stuff. And to see both women have these separate exchanges with their estranged husbands, who they're both separated from, and to be in conversation with people who aren't necessarily hearing them, although I do think PK was being much more forthcoming, obviously, than Mauricio was, you would think in another land, in another universe, that this would be a moment in which they could kind of see each other. In an alternate world, wouldn't it be kind of interesting to see, and maybe we'll get this, it's not to say that we never will, but we're just not going to right now, to see Kyle and Dorit have that moment with each other of like, you know, I thought I was living in a fairy tale. I thought this was the person who would always be my one true love. And now there's just such a distance in how we see each other. I actually kind of thought not that it's a competition, but I actually kind of was more uncomfortable for a different reason in the scene between Kyle and Mo than I was with PK and Dorit, because the Mauricio just feels so tapped out that maybe any argument that can be made for Kyle not necessarily being honest about the reasons that she's upset with at Dorit or whatever else, when you look at how Mauricio behaves, where he's just like, everything's great at all times, it's just so strange to watch, because it feels like they are at entirely different chapters in their lives. And the reveal that he had replaced a photo of himself and Kyle, or maybe it was just a photo of just Kyle, I forget, with his Dancing with the Stars partner was so weird. It genuinely was a strange choice of something, a strange choice for him to do at his home office And then I'm trying to think in my head, because then they show a flash of what the prior photo was of Mo and Kyle. And I'm just kind of thinking to myself, I don't know why I started to think about like photos in the Oval Office or when, you know, the may her memory, you know, passed Queen Elizabeth and now King Chuck, and any POTUS Oval Office meeting, like when you're doing those, giving those televised audiences, the frames are always facing us so we can see the assembled family members, loved ones, whoever behind you. And for Mauricio, I'm like, who was this audience that you were sharing this? What was the reason that you were sharing this photo in this way? Doesn't feel like it was for him. It felt like it was for her. Erica and Garcelle, I think, especially got into it more on the after show. And so did Sutton, too, with just like why that was a wild choice for him to do. It did feel passive aggressive. So you think of that moment. And then I watch this scene where he's just happy go lucky. And it's like, yeah, let's see some of the anger here. Obviously, there's something going on. I'm very confused and I feel so sad for Kyle to try to figure out where they are and what she wants. And one of the most interesting confessionals to me in these most recent two episodes was when a producer asked her something along the lines of like, what do you want with you and Mauricio? Do you see a future together? And she said really quickly, and I thought, honestly, like, I'm not going to answer that question, where I thought to myself, what do you see? Because it feels like there's nothing there. So when we get into the, I'm so upset that he bought furniture for this place that he sublet and signed a 6-month contract. And, you know, he has access to things because of the agency, but he didn't move into a staged place or lease furniture. He bought it. What does that mean for our relationship? It feels like there should be no hope, but also, do you want there to be hope? How do you guys see each other? We hear over and over again, we'll always be a family, we'll always be a family. But like, what is your role in this family? Do you see him in a romantic way? It didn't feel like there was any kind of romantic connection. I don't know what Mauricio has capacity for. I think he is probably bewildered by Kyle at this point. Maybe similar to PK, and I'm not saying I agree with either of them, but just in terms of like, wow, my spouse, the roles that we had, the dependency that I felt like my partner had with me, maybe it's some financial stuff, other stuff, maybe it's emotional, what this person carried for me, the kind of partnership that I don't know was 50-50, and obviously things can change, but maybe it was more consistently 70-30, the kind of expectations that were had by both of these men for what their wives were going to be responsible for in their dynamic in quote unquote exchange for some sort of, for, you know, financial providing. Obviously, several of those dynamics have changed, but it's just kind of a, it's not like it's unnerving. It's just, it's sad to watch Mauricio and Kyle communicate now, because I just don't see, I don't see the kind of energy there that I guess I took for granted as an absolute super fan of Kyle and someone who really held them at like LVP, Ken standard of like, Kyle and Mauricio, of course, are going to be together forever. And this is a great, although maybe for some people, sobering example of like things can really genuinely change. And also it doesn't take away from the success of their marriage, but genuinely some marriages have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It just feels like now when Kyle is giving explanations here, or I don't know, recommitting to the fact that yes, we'll be in each other's lives forever, where I just wonder, okay, but at what point are you really going to make the decision to move forward and go into whatever new chapter of your life it seems like you're heading straight into, which has nothing to do to me with her relationship with Morgan, but just an understanding that like she, I don't even know what she wants. I don't know if she knows what she wants. My guess is she knows more than she's telling us, but doesn't want to say it out loud. I mean, if it's a fear of hers of like, if I say, I think this is coming to an end, you can't take that back. But also there's something to be said for that. Once you say it out loud, maybe that has the ability of helping inspire you to really make next steps. I mean, she did not seem thrilled with Sutton pushing her to really put some things in order. But even Erica, I forget if it was on the episode or the after show, was like, yeah, I totally get Kyle why, you know, it doesn't matter anybody else's opinions but yours. But also, I would loop in some attorneys here, which is something that Sutton said. It's like, you don't have to get divorced, but speaking to a divorce lawyer, it stops the clock on what the 50-50 split or whatever else. And also listen to women. I know that Kyle believes she's the exception to the rule, and she might be entirely right. It's not exception to the rule, exception to other people's experiences. You know, we're not the norm. We have a very different dynamic. All of that is fine and good. I'm sure many of these other women on the show who have all been divorced or separated, excepting, I guess, Dorit, right? Has anybody not been? Whatever. That many of these women are all on the same page here with like, don't exist in a place of ignorance and denial when you have the ability, which many women do not, of having your own income and getting information. Like, you're convinced because Mauricio said in his memoir that the agency wouldn't exist without you, but that is not a legal document. That might be used at some point, but like, have conversations. You cannot have we sort of watched it, talking to Erica Jane and being like, it's all going to work out. I know that Erica is a complicated example, but like sitting in Erica Jane's chair and listening to that and being like, yeah, everything's going to work out if you just believe. This is not, divorce is not the Disney movie that Kyle thinks it is. And maybe she and Mauricio, maybe everything will work out and he will have an understanding and he won't be hiding assets. But I do think just trust, you don't, it's not about choosing between whether or not to trust in Mauricio versus your friends. Maybe just like listen to your friends a little bit more, because they're trying to tell you that they have all had very, very similar experiences with breaking up with and moving on from very powerful, successful men. I don't know that it's unfortunate Kyle believes that she's the exception here, but I just think after what we have seen over and over again, especially on Housewives, of women really thinking that they were going to have an ending to their marriage that would still feel respectful of the length of the marriage, of the quote unquote quality of the marriage, and then being really shocked when their now former spouse doesn't want for that to happen, doesn't want to make them whole. I don't know. Kyle has her own assets and money. Although again, if you listen to Sutton, which I think she should, the question of like what belongs to you versus what goes in this giant pot to be fought over, I don't know. I mean, it's not even like rich people problems. I think it's also just like gender dynamics here and having more faith in Mauricio than maybe he deserves. Maybe just focus on having faith in yourself. It's talking to a divorce lawyer should not inspire Mauricio to instinctively become like a cutthroat vampire. Talking to a divorce lawyer, if he is the good man and will remain the good man that you believe he is, I would think he would, I mean, this is Pollyanna of me, but I would think he would support that in some way. I don't know if Kyle is doing this because she believes that if she looks like she's coming out as some kind of like, with some kind of like attack dog attorney, that Mauricio will also turn, but maybe that's also inevitable here, that there's this idea that our separation will be as wonderful as our marriage was, but also we're trying to understand how we got from quote unquote perfect marriage together forever to where we are now. There's information that hasn't been totally filled in.
Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, this season of Real Housewives of New York, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. For me, it's those couple days before my period when I just don't feel like myself. And there's also perimenopause and menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. The good news is we don't have to suffer through anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hashtag spiritually mid-20s plus. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for women of all ages who are struggling with life-disrupting symptoms such as PMS symptoms like irritability, moodiness, discomfort, menopause symptoms like hot flashes, night sweats, poor sleep, and feeling tired all the time. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. You know what's the light of my life? The Clawfis, obviously, getting a chance to come into this colorful, unique space and breathe, especially after a wild holiday season. You know what else is the light of my life? The lighting fixture that my friend Tori and I picked out from Wayfair, which is such a conversation starter. It's modern, it's beautiful. The light bulbs, of course, are key. Amidst so much chaos in New York City, and of course the up and downs of housewives, I wanted my apartment to feel calm, soothing, fun, and feminine. And thanks to Wayfair, all of my dreams, minus Chris Manzo, have come true. Wayfair is super easy to use, especially for me, someone who has an idea of what I want, but oftentimes can get a little stuck in the details. Delivery was free, hassle-free, and I love that each room in my apartment feels different. From the lighting fixtures in the Clawfis versus the living room, to the way I use color in the Clawfis versus the living room. Wayfair has it all. And P.S. Hanukkah Harry, thanks to Wayfair, brought me an espresso machine. Because after this season of New York, a little extra caffeine is needed. Wayfair has everything your home needs this spring, and Wayfair has what you're looking for at any budget. There's something for every style in every home. Wayfair makes it easy to tackle your New Year's home goals with endless inspiration for every space. And it's free and easy delivery, even on the big stuff. Give your home the refresh it needs with Wayfair. Head to wayfair.com right now. That's WAYFAIR.com. Wayfair, every style, every home.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And so with some of this, I just kind of feel like this is, I'm not going to say that the season of Beverly Hills feels particularly lighter, because sometimes the use of like a lighter season is an insult. I think that it's an interesting one. I don't think it's going to end up being like the most insane season of Beverly Hills ever, but Beverly Hills often screams at a whisper, and even the use of when they're like cutting to faces, dramatic stillness is incredibly important for storytelling on Beverly Hills. It's often like Kyle gives a look, Dorit gives a look, maybe someone raises their voice or not, but it's not it doesn't typically last very long, but it's supposed to be tense. And we have an understanding because Erica looks uncomfortable, Garcelle looks uncomfortable, Sutton looks uncomfortable, Jennifer Tilly, God bless us all, is present for class. We go off of how other people are responding to the conversation to add an extra level of like, oh my God, what the fuck? And so with the Kyle Dorit of it all, we know from the season trailer, obviously, that there are fireworks. We saw some of those fireworks in the premiere episode. I think this is very much it's going to be kind of like an up and down interesting season. Not every season. Sometimes I hold it to the standard of like, maybe not anymore at Beverly Hills because we've had so much terrible, some chaotic bad stuff has happened on BH in terms of quality. There's been some real quality control issues in seasons. Although I guess that's just realistic at a certain point in time. It can't nor should it be season one over and over again, or at least the first couple and some stuff in the middle there. It's a different kind of franchise than any other. Obviously, every franchise has its own unique like flavor and style. I just think the cast feels really secure. It feels really set. I don't know if I'm the only one that feels this way. And Lord knows I've said some, I think, deserved, but really intense critiques of Erica Jayne previously because her behavior has been abhorrent both on the show and obviously off. I think she's having a solid season so far. I think Erica Jayne, it feels like she's here, she's keyed in. Obviously, she's needed as a surrogate friend for Kyle. There is going to be an inevitable complication in what Kyle says about the reasons that Dorit hasn't stuck up for her, because I think at many of these moments, Erica is also maybe not doing the thing that Kyle would expect of them. But because Kyle's narrative isn't solid, it doesn't really hurt Erica as much as it does Kyle. Like when Kyle's like, you didn't stand up for Teddy. I mean, Erica's right there not doing anything. Kyle's not upset at Erica as she is Dorit, but why would you be so upset at Dorit if you're also saying we weren't that good friends? It's like Kyle is going off of the Fox Force narrative and persona that so many of us hated for so long, of like, we're all here together, united. This is our terrible alliance. Kyle's still going off of that, but she's so singularly focused on Dorit, you didn't do enough to support me. But then if you guys weren't as close friends as what Dorit was saying you were, then why are you so mad at her and not anyone else? I don't know. There's something about those episodes where I was watching where I was just like, this is nice. It doesn't feel like there is a reason to be truly mad at anyone, where it just feels like sometimes there are those seasons of Beverly Hills where a cast member is so noxious or just so annoying to watch, BCC Anna Marie, where it's hard, where it becomes a little bit of a challenge or deterrent to actually enjoy the show when those people are just making terrible strategic decisions. And right now, it feels like the cast is solid. It feels comfortable. It feels like a comfortable pair of jeans that Sutton will probably never wear. Like a comfortable pair of Levi's. And as someone who also does not wear jeans, we see each other. Actually, Sutton may have even worn jeans this most recent episode. So that's probably not a great example. But it just feels like there's a general genuine vibe where it doesn't feel... And this is maybe a little bit of an LOL because obviously the season is built around Kyle v. Dorit. But aside from that, it doesn't feel like it's really as intense as it was previous seasons with like Garcelle and Sutton versus the rest of the class. It feels like there's enough genuine respect or lived experience between everyone as a cast where it's more of an ensemble than it has been in a minute. And also, speaking of ensemble, Bose to me was excellent fucking casting. I love hearing more about her business. I recognized her name before she joined the cast because she has been a huge fucking mocker in all things business. Like she's a big fucking deal. Obviously, the flashes to like a profile in the New York Times, Forbes, whatever else, Variety, Hollywood Reporter, like she's a big fucking deal. And so that's fun that we get access to someone that has been so successful in business and then joining the Housewives. It also, just selfishly, to people who try to like minimize Housewives of like, oh, just Real Housewives, guilty pleasure, women focused entertainment needs to be made fun of. These are just whatever, gender-based insults. This is just a woman, whatever, housewife marrying a man for money or whatever, and we need to pretend that they have no value that they bring, or like judging the form of entertainment and using a soap opera as an example or description in a way that's meant to be entirely dismissive and insulting. Then we have people like Bose who join the show where it's like, yeah, go fuck yourself. There are so many different ways that a person can be cast as a Real Housewife. There is so many different ways to view diversity in the casting of housewives, that to have someone come on the show and bond with someone like Dorit, even though when Bose was talking about like, yeah, this is my experience as someone in business, and Dorit was just nodding and she's like, yeah, absolutely. Where it just felt like, but I mean, good for Dorit. Like, yes, we know Beverly Beach and other stuff before, right? She has had other stuff before. I can't think of anything on the top of my mind, but I know she has. And I'm not diminishing that, but I'm just, there was just something about like, we are equals in business in the way that we're communicating that I did find sort of charming. But Bo's just kind of coming in, hearing more about her journey and perspective, separating with her spouse unfortunately becoming gravely ill, trying to figure out a way to move forward, and that the bond that she and her child now share, seeing her, you know, on FaceTimes or whatever with her kid, her unbelievably gorgeous house. It was just so stunning. The pool, the outside, somebody, I think it was Erica, was like, this feels like a spa. It really did. It had like retreat energy. Her style is fabulous. When she was walking in, I actually thought Bose, Erica, and Sutton all looked great. There's just this kind of energy on Beverly Hills that, yes, it's a little A++. I hate that they bring their glam on vacation. It's so distracting and so annoying. My favorite part on Housewives trips is like them not having glam and doing their own makeup, God, hair and makeup, God forbid. But there's just something about watching their like unique style where it feels elegant and glamorous and, yeah, a little extra in a way that was just kind of fun to see. She's interesting. She's smart. She's funny. I feel like she's direct. I do believe that her relationship with Dorit is sincere. I love seeing that energy because Dorit could potentially be in an island entirely on her own, maybe with like Erica extending some stuff and maybe other people in the cast too. But there's something about the connection that she and Bose share where I'm like, this feels right. This feels like an example of what Dorit was arguing she had with Kyle, which Kyle was consistently through now trying to negate, of saying that's not what we really had. But we're watching something develop, a friendship, a connection, some vulnerability between Dorit and Bose, what really feels like they understand each other. They're interested in each other. They're curious in about each other in a way that I really enjoy. I also recognize, who was it saying? I think it was Garcelle and Sutton talking about the fact that like Dorit and Bose's connection with each other is all fine and good, but also in group dynamics, we want to understand more about Bose. We want to hear more about what's going on with Dorit, where it feels like they're having these moments of connection, but in an ensemble cast, like, let's also be able to all be able to participate in this in a sort of similar way that I completely understood. I don't know. There's something about Beverly Hills where I'm like, maybe it's because Salt Lake City is so fucking nuts right now. And I mean, it should really be considered some sort of form of criminal act. I'm so behind on Potomac. Not my fault, meaning entirely my fault. But I guess, more intentionally, I just haven't prioritized New York. I will catch up to Potomac. But there's just something so interesting to me right now about Salt Lake City, which is just like on fire, absolutely nuts, insane, so funny, so weird. Lisa Barlow should be examined by scientists. Put her in. She already is, to me, an entire wing of the Smithsonian. I can't imagine a world in which Lisa Barlow isn't the star of Salt Lake City. Like, this, we're talking like lifetime appointment here. Like, you're on this show for as long as you want to be there. And I am so grateful for it, where it's just solid fucking TV. Meredith Marks flopping over and over again, back and forth. Love it. Angie K. I titled a previous episode Angie ?.. K when she was giving just kind of like sort of flop era Angie. And now we are, I mean, shout out to T Swift, Eras Tour, May Its Memory Be a Blessing, to see Angie K's Eras Tour and how she has risen to true like LOL superstar status, but genuinely where I'm like, you're a great housewife. Like, I love your personality on this show. You're so fucking unique. There's just something so wonderful about watching Salt Lake City, which is as zoo-esque as a franchise can possibly be. And then I'm not saying that Beverly Hills is more grounded, although I guess it is. It's certainly not as dynamic as Salt Lake City is, but nothing could be. It's just, except for Miami. When it comes to like dynamic franchises and casts, Miami and Salt Lake City are in similar sort of universes. Beverly Hills is just, it's, you know, we think of it, it's historic, it's everything you would want of a franchise, except when it's not. And then many of us are devastated and most importantly, mad. But there's just something about it right now where I'm like, it feels settled in a way where I don't need it to be as important, or no, I don't need it to succeed in the ways that it has previously. I just think it's doing great right now. It's doing good. It's just, it feels solid where I want to watch Beverly Hills. Obviously the Dorit and Kyle dynamics have my full fucking attention. To go from the ways that I spoke about Dorit last season, I would argue deserved, and me being like, I don't need to see her on this again, give her friend of and see what happens, to way that I'm just like, she has me in a fucking chokehold right now where I just can't, I'm perfectly happy to be completely under her grasp. Like, I'm just like, Dorit, you keep saying what you need to say because Kyle is going to do a whisper campaign on the show and off and say, you're doing too much. You're just doing this for a check. But Dorit, you know what the flip side of that is? You're earning your fucking check. I think that's what a lot of us feel, regardless of like, it feels fake, whatever else. I don't know, Dorit, sweetie, like, keep it up. You're doing great. On that note, I do just want to say, because prior to recording, I saw fellow content creator, shout out Bywig Hello Drama, who posted a clip of Carlos King, friend of the pod, who I really enjoy. But there was a clip that's kind of like going around that I'm just going to share. And I just want to shout out Bywig Hello Drama because they very kindly wrote out what Carlos said in a clip from his podcast that's gone sort of niche viral. So I don't know why it made me chuckle. So I just wanted to share it. So this is Carlos King on an episode of his pod. And again, Carlos King, who I would love to have back anytime and I really genuinely enjoy, said that I'm now being told that allegedly Dorit and PK are fooling the audience with this divorce storyline based on his alcoholism, which is why Dorit is telling everybody, including the post office guy, the milkman and her gardener, that PK has a drinking problem and it's because they need this money. And they're so dire in funds, allegedly, that Dorit has nothing to lose and she has to make sure she's the marquee name of this show so they can make money. And I was told the reason why Kyle, I wonder by who, the reason why Kyle said to Dorit in the first episode of their sit down, who are you? Why are you acting like that? They feel, lol, like Kyle understands that Dorit is desperate to keep this job and keep her check, that she's going to expose some very confidential things that Kyle has said to her in their private moments. We just need to break this down for 1 second because I've really genuinely laughed out loud. Let's start at the end. this whole idea that Dorit is going to reveal and expose confidential things based on what confidential things have been shared about other cast members on Beverly Hills, which Kyle has had no problem with being shared. It's really like, what is that fucking phrase? Like, rules for thee, but not for me. That's the kind of energy that I feel like I'm getting in this from, not just this sort of example, from a source not known as Kyle's Richard Zumanski Richards again, but certainly on someone on Team Kyle who wants to communicate this. But the fact that it's like, oh, Dorit is going to expose confidential things. Well, she hasn't so far. I don't think her sharing that text, which was absolutely manipulative and meant to silence her sharing or maybe holding Kyle accountable the next day at the reunion. We're going to say over and over again and argue that that was the wrong thing to do. I would say it wasn't. The right thing to do was to say, I feel like I'm being manipulated. The timing of this is sus, and I'm going to talk about it. Dorit's job is to talk about things that are happening to her, ideally as they happen on her reality television show. Kyle wants different rules for her. Lucky for Kyle, she's had different rules for a very long fucking time. And now those rules are changing. And you know who benefits? Maybe not Kyle, but I would argue absolutely the audience. This is interesting. For too long, Kyle, and I love her. She's in my top five. Still love her to bits. Shouted out German Shepherds and five other dogs, River, other Scout, whatever the small fluffy one was, Pomeranian, whatever the hell. It just kind of feels like the edit never felt critical. Cast members never felt critical in ways in which they could have. Well, Dorit finally is. So the fact that Kyle is concerned that potentially Dorit might share things when Dorit herself said in the most recent episode, I'm not going to do that. I mean, to hold that against her, that the possibility of something happening, is incredibly unfair and I would say still manipulative. You can't say this person is a bad friend because she might do something. That's not terribly fair, or it certainly doesn't win the argument when Dorit is like, okay, cool, but like, here are things that you've actually done. So there's the possibility of something, and then also here's some other stuff. So there's that, that part. The fact that we're talking about so dire and funds that Dorit has nothing to lose. Yeah. Duh. They haven't been doing well financially. Dorit might have nothing to lose, but that doesn't mean she's being dishonest now. Dorit isn't being dishonest because you don't like what she's saying. That doesn't make her behavior entirely dishonest because she's not being the protector. She might need the check, but you know what? A lot of people have to work because they don't have a choice. Not everybody comes to Beverly Hills and makes it big and is in a position where they could retire and buy 17 houses and have everything be fine. Like, Dorit is in a different financial position than Kyle is. I would love for Dorit to share more of that with us, since we have been lied to for several years and it hasn't helped that production hasn't been as interested in talking about Dorit and PK's problems, as financial problems, as many of us have been focused on, because it's been so fucking weird that it's never really truly been brought up, aside from Camille Grammer being sacrificed so all of us can get that exciting climactic 3 minutes in which that happened on a single episode, in which she was dragged mercilessly on the following reunion for it. So I mean, I don't know, like, yeah, are they dire in funds? Yes. Dorit has nothing to lose, sure, but can that also prompt someone to have a zero fucks attitude that really fucking pays off and is also honest? Absolutely. The thing here, though, that I think is especially nuts is someone saying on Team Kyle, whomever that is, that Dorit and PK are fooling the audience with the divorce storyline based on PK struggling with his relationship with alcohol. If I was Kyle or someone on Team Kyle, I wouldn't go near that with a 10-foot pole. It's really deeply problematic. And Kyle doesn't have a great track record of a family member or loved one's relationship with alcohol being used during filming in a way that was not great looking back. I don't judge Kyle for it. I think that when it comes to all things Kim, that is a very complicated dynamic. And Kyle, as a sister caregiver, provider, for her trying to figure out moments in which they never talked about this stuff. And it like blows up as it did, obviously, infamously at the season one finale. I think that there's the possibility here to talk about Kim and like give grace and try to understand nuance and understanding, and also Kyle, and to be a family member of someone struggling with addiction. You don't need to entirely eliminate what they have gone through. I think it's just very complicated. But to maybe, I don't know who was like sharing this, but I would really encourage not wanting a narrative around the divorce being built, being a lie, because they're focusing on his relationship and struggle with alcohol. I would just strongly encourage not using that and saying that's a lie. When someone is talking about and being honest and forthcoming about having struggling with addiction, to then try to say like, this is the inciting incident here of why Dorit is like a quote unquote fraud, or why they're not being honest. If I was Kyle, knowing which the problems and difficult dynamics of what has been shared about Kim, when Kim was there, when Kim wasn't, I just wouldn't go near that even a little bit. Like, to connect that with like them needing money, so they're gonna lie about it. I mean, if we're gonna talk about give me some grace, holy shit. I mean, there has to be a little bit of a limit here, especially if you think about somebody allegedly, like this is all alleged, like who knows who, and if it was somebody genuinely representing somebody on her team or not, who even, or someone just like hypothesizing, it could have been somebody on production or something else like tangentially related, who even knows anything related to the specifics of it. But also, if you think about like Kyle's argument that Dorit is being manipulative and sharing the text message that she didn't want to be public, because obviously she didn't, because it was so fucking manipulative, the text the day before the reunion. If you think about that argument, that that's like the reason that Dorit sucks, and then you weigh that against this narrative that's referencing his relationship with alcohol as a way that Dorit isn't being honest, I don't know. I oy vey on the lack of amazing grace being shown there. Obviously, there's stuff about Dorit and PK that we don't know yet. Or obviously, like the dinner scene again with the fries. I'll never stop thinking about those fries. But the dinner scene, obviously, there's some tension there that I'm sure we'll get into as the season progresses with what PK expects of Dorit, the fact that she has changed in PK's eyes, but also maybe in Dorit and everybody's eyes since she joined Housewives, the fact that she's become a different person since becoming a parent. He wants her to go out and party and be the kind of energetic person, exuberant and fun. And she has experienced things. Her priorities have changed. That doesn't always need to be a bad thing. Obviously, they've become different people in many ways. His expectations of who she is has changed. Her expectations of who she is has changed. Her understanding of PK has changed. There's a lot that they're not letting us know about, that, you know, there's some discrepancies there. But I just think when it comes to like relationships with alcohol or any kind of addiction, to say that that is being exploited and that's kind of the only thing going on, I just, when you're Kyle or in defense of Kyle, I just wouldn't go near it, because I just think it's just an odd argument to make. But anyway, listen, the story continues. I really didn't know that I had anything to say about Beverly Hills. Once again, coming up with a couple things to say. So listen, episodes, I'm still obviously catching up on all things Housewives. So you will hear some of more of my catch up episodes, more of Friends of guest hosted on Eps, and want to thank everyone again for sending so much kindness. And I've literally been recording this whole episode while staring at a photo of myself and my dad and brother and mom on a trip to I think it was Cancun, Mexico several years ago. So I've been staring at my dad's face while recording, which has been heartbreaking, but also kind of nice. So anyway, recording here in the very calming, soothing red room, if you've seen it, what my mom made anew from my childhood bedroom by painting it deep. I'll include a photo in the graphic for this episode. I've shared it on social before. It's a wild journey to see it, but not entirely soothing. So anyway, coming here from the shining themed childhood bedroom, now painted blood red with deep red curtains and a red rug and other red focused furniture. Just want to thank everybody for again for support and sending lovely comments, and I'm going to catch up on DMs and more episodes, obviously, of AG as we move into, thank God, the end of 2024. Here we are, Beverly Hills. Let me know your thoughts. I'll do a Satchel Spectacular episode next week. So send me your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things New New York, which I will catch up on, obviously, BCC Potomac, Salt Lake City, Beverly Hills, Bravo, and more. And they may be featured in an upcoming Satchel Spectacular Patreon episode. Patreon, the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/andysgirls. And for those celebrating a holiday this month, or for any reason, because every day is a holiday when you are a Bravoholic, there is a premium tier, the People's Couch, where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki. So that's a fun Hanukkah, Christmas, fuck 2024. Let's begin the new year anew with a fun, sassy Zoom spectacular. That's a fun little prezi for the Bravoholic in your life, and a great way to support this podcast social experiment as it trucks along. So there we are. Hope everybody's having a great day. I really also am really curious to hear from people who are Team Kyle and Team Dorit, or switching sides, or just kind of watching with hopefully some delight. I'm curious for your thoughts about everything that we're experiencing right now. But in the meantime, thanks so much for listening to this episode. Oh, follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley, where you can send me those satchels and see pictures of this beautiful, relaxing, restorative, deep red room. And I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.